Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to today's show, where I'm honoured to have Jon Torkelsen, the President of the European Ostomy Association, as our guest. The EOA is a distinguished non-profit and non-governmental organisation representing associations of ostomates across Europe and the Middle East and North Africa. With a robust network of 46 member organisations, the EOA is one of the three regions under the International Ostomy Association. The EOA is dedicated to addressing the challenges faced by ostomates, which range from discrimination to the unavailability of necessary appliances in some countries. A critical objective of the EOA is to support member organizations in advocating for the implementation and acceptance of the Charter of Ostomate Rights by authorities. This endeavour is often challenging due to the diverse languages and regulations across member countries, but the backing of the EOA provides significant leverage in the advocacy efforts. The European Ostomy Association is committed in representing the views of ostomates at a European level and cooperating with medical, nursing and associated professions. Its purpose is to encourage the highest possible standards of surgery, medical attention, and patient aftercare to assist members, associations in helping rehabilitate ostomates to achieve the quality of life they seek in all its aspects. Now imagine facing the day with uncertainty about whether you have the supplies you need to manage a basic bodily function. For ostomates around the world, this is not just a hypothetical scenario, it's a daily reality. The lack of ostomy supplies in many regions presents a significant challenge to those who rely on them to maintain their health and quality of life. From ostomy bags to adhesive products and cleaning solutions, the absence of these supplies can have a profound impact on an ostomy's physical and emotional well-being. What many of us take for granted, access to essential healthcare products, is a critical necessity for ostomates. The availability of these supplies can mean the difference between living with dignity and struggling to manage a condition that already poses numerous challenges. So please stay tuned after the commercial break, where we'll be speaking with the president of the European Ostomy Association.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. As mentioned, our guest today is Jon Torkelsen, the president of the European Ostomy Association and a passionate advocate for ostomates around the world. Welcome to the show, Jon.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you are all the way in Iceland, and I'm really honoured to have you as my guest today. Now, please tell us, like every story, every journey has a beginning, and obviously you didn't wake up one day and say, okay, I'm going to be the president of the European Ostomy Association. Perhaps take us back in time how everything started for you.
Well, I became sick with IBD in 1982 or 1983, and I had a fight with that for 12 or 13 years. And in the fall of 95, I had my first operation where I got an ileostomy placed on my body. It was a big shock at the moment. I was not ready for that. And I, well, let's just admit it, I cried. Icelandic men, 35 years of age, did not cry in those days. They perhaps do it today, but we did not in 95. Mm. But okay, life went on. I got a lot of support from my family and friends, so I managed to survive this physically and mentally. And I had another operation in a year later where they put where I got the so-called J pouch. It's an inside pouch, so I didn't have an outside stoma, which was very good for me, I think. And that lasted until 2013 when I had an operation to replace the ileostomy. The inside stoma was stopped working properly, and in this operation there were mistakes made, so I had a rough time for the next 4 years. But after an operation in the beginning of December 2017, I've been quite good. Now, during this time in 2004, I joined the board of ISILCO, the Icelandic Ostomy Association, and I became chairman there in 2007 and still am. And in 2008, I went to my first European Ostomy Association conference. It was held in Brno in the Czech Republic. And it was very interesting. I had been on a few Scandinavian or Nordic conferences before. I had organized one. It was held in Iceland in 2006. But this was a much bigger conference, more program, more people to meet. And one evening there, I sat down with some ladies from the eastern part of Europe. Two of them were from Ukraine, from Odessa in the south of Ukraine. And we started to talk about appliances and ostomies and everything to do with this situation. And it slowly dawned on me that they did not have access to appliances unless they got them sent from the western part of Europe. The state was not supplying them with anything. All over Ukraine, people were not being supplied by the healthcare system, and they were not being treated properly. And there was a shudder down my spine when I realized this. And as we are talking, there is still going shudder down my spine. I still don't like this situation. And at that moment, I decided in 2008, I decided that I would do something about this. So I put a little work in motion, and on the next EOA conference, which was 2011, where was that? In Ukraine. It was in Ukraine in 2011, in the city of Lviv, which is in the western part of Ukraine. I stepped forward and said that I wanted to be on the board, and I got voted into the board and worked there for 6 years. I was instantly made treasurer. I'm always made treasurer wherever I go. I don't know why that is, but I find it an easy job to be a treasurer. Most people don't like being treasurer, but it's easy for me for some reason. And I was made the treasurer, and I was treasurer for 6 years. And we had a conference in 2014 in Krakow, in Poland. It was very nice. While we were there, they were celebrating the 650th anniversary of the university in Krakow. We are very proud here in Iceland to have a university that is a bit more than 100 years old. The difference is almost incredible to have had a university for 650 years, but okay. And I was re-elected into the board on that conference in 2014. And then in 2017, there was another conference in Copenhagen. And there I stepped up and said that I wanted to be the president. And I had a little, there was another person also wanted to be the president, but I won the election and I have been president ever since. COVID has, of course, lengthened my stay as the president. Each period is supposed to be 3 years, but there was no possibility to have a conference in 2020 or 21. So in 22 we had a computer conference, and there I was elected again as the president. But there will be a conference in Norway in the beginning of May 25, and there I am required to step down as the president of UA. You are
Okay.
only allowed to be 2 terms,
All right.
but I'm not sure that I am happy with this, but maybe I will be happy when the time comes. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you've had an extended term already due to COVID, as you mentioned, but
Yeah.
perhaps who knows, maybe rules are there to be bent and broken. Who knows what happens in Bergen in 2025, you said.
Yeah, well, I'm Icelandic, as you've said before, and we are very keen on bending rules a little bit. We have feel no shame in that. That was our downfall, maybe in 2008, when in the banking crisis. But this is not a serious crisis that will occur if I bend the rules now, I think.
Yeah, no, not at all, not at all. And I mean, like you said, you've been treasurer for so many other organizations because you're a trustworthy person, and I'm sure they will see that as well.
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah. So now, talking about the European Ostomy Association, I know it's not government funded. How does the organization actually fund itself?
Well, our members pay a membership fee from 170 Swiss francs up to 2,000 Swiss francs. Sometimes we get a little bit of money from sponsoring activities, the big organizations that produce appliances. They have in the past, they have supported us a little bit, but they haven't done so for a very long time now. Maybe good and maybe not good. That means that we are independent of them. We don't have to rely on them for our funding. But like I said in the things that I wrote to you, I'm constantly on the lookout for a bit more of money to be able to do more.
Of course.
We need to do a lot more in Africa to get things into a proper condition there,
Yeah.
for example. And there are places in Europe that we don't know anything about.
Yeah.
Sorry to say it, but that's the fact.
Yeah. And I mean, we've got war right on our doorstep here in Europe, and I can just imagine that ostomy supplies are the last on anybody's list who's fighting a war, but not for the ostomates themselves. Because as I said, I mean, it's your basic bodily function that is actually relying on these healthcare products. And if you don't have them, I mean, that's just, it's something we take for granted.
Yeah, the ordinary person just goes to the toilet and uses that, but we can't stop the thing coming out from our body. We need appliances for that.
No.
But it's almost funny that you mentioned this because the Ukrainians didn't have appliances from the state for a very long time. But after the war started, the Red Cross and all the aid organizations in the world basically are working in Ukraine, and we have heard that they are supplying ostomy appliances.
Oh, brilliant.
A properly run organization, for example, like the Red Cross, they don't leave ostomy appliances on the side and say, no, nobody needs that. They do complete service.
Excellent.
Now that would be, if this is true, it is excellent, yes.
Yeah.
We've here in Iceland and in Germany and Denmark, we've occasionally been sending appliances to the organization in Odessa and also the organization in Lviv. But we've heard recently that they are getting appliances from these help organizations, which would be delightful if true.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, that in itself is just it's a milestone, and so the Red Cross is an advocate there on supplying the healthcare products, as you mentioned.
Yeah. I haven't had this confirmed, but the guy that we were speaking with in Ukraine, he was going after some information on this. He hadn't heard about it, but hopefully it is true. It
Yeah.
would solve a lot of problems if it is true.
Yeah. Now, I mean, we are here on a radio show. And we've got a global reach. And I am sure there are a lot of people out there, ostomates like you and me, out there thinking, oh, well, look, I take all this for granted, but perhaps I want to help in aiding ostomates that are less privileged. Is there a possibility of them to do that and to reach out to you?
There's one catch on that. The EOA is not a registered organizations anywhere. We set that in motion 2 years ago to become registered, and then we are allowed to ask people to give us money, etc. But due to a mistake by a German lawyer, we are stuck at the moment. We need to have a conference in to make the decisions. It is not possible to do that by the internet. So after the conference in Bergen in 25, we will set that in motion again. But if you want to reach out and help with these things, talk to your neighborhood organization, support them, ask them perhaps if they can assist us or if they can do something themselves. It doesn't matter where you start. Your local organization or your national organization needs help. That is for certain. Every bit of money, every bit of help is highly appreciated. If people can do something a little bit here and a little bit there, these little bits will come into some big things.
You know, I was totally naive when I went into my ostomy. I had 6 days to prepare myself for surgery and then being presented as an ostomate with my reality, with my new life. And I joined a couple of Facebook groups just to actually connect with like-minded people or people that are in the same position. And I remember there was one conversation where an American lady spoke about how to actually preserve the longevity of an ostomy bag. And it's something that was completely foreign to me because I live in the UK and I get my ostomy supplies through the healthcare system here, the NHS. It's free of charge. I get it whenever I need it. I don't even have to think about it. I get a phone call every couple of weeks if I've got enough. And if I don't, then I just place an order with my GP and it comes. But that to me was the first point where I realized there's people out there, even in the States, where you think, oh, this is a first world country, where people are also struggling with ostomy supplies, where healthcare systems are so extremely expensive that they have to actually think of how am I going to preserve the longevity of an ostomy bag. Now, that really, it, like you said, I had shivers down my spine because it's something that I obviously, as an ostomate, have now at my availability and take for granted, but others don't. And maybe for the listeners out there, maybe it's the same. Maybe they also have a shiver down their spine when they're listening to us talking about this now. So after the commercial break, we will continue this conversation. And I can just, yeah, I will leave you with a thought of perhaps go to your local community or ask your local healthcare supplier how you can be active in supporting those that are less fortunate. So we'll be back after this commercial break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. I'm delighted to be speaking to the president of the European Ostomy Association, Jorn Torkelsen. Now, Jorn, you've touched on a couple of very sensitive subjects on ostomates not having their healthcare services that they so desperately need. Now, this is not just in Europe, but I know it's also in Africa. It's a very big issue. Perhaps you can share with us the things the organizations have already done to help those people that need those supplies.
Well, if we talk about Africa, it doesn't really matter where you put your finger on the map. There are huge problems everywhere for ostomates. And most places there are big problems for any kind of healthcare, I think. But the situation for ostomates is, well, it's scary in my way. Ostomy is a thing that you don't want to know about it unless you know somebody who has it or you have it yourself. You just say this is not my problem. And there are some health problems that are more popular than others. Ours is very unpopular because it has to do with the waste disposal systems of the body. Everybody wants that to work perfectly. But if you have heart problems, stuff like that, everybody can talk about that at lengths. But this issue is sort of a taboo. I have taken two, let's say three programs in Africa projects. First, we went to Zimbabwe in 2019. There was only four of us coming from Europe, me and a Swedish woman named Marie Steen. It has always been easy for me and Marie to work together. And my wife and her husband were with us, and they were helping us out with this. And we were traveling around with the leaders of the Zimbabwe's ostomy organizations, the Moyo sisters. And the goal of the project was to get the National Ostomy Association in Zimbabwe onto the map, so to speak. We took them, we had two workshops in Harare and Bulawayo, which are the biggest cities, invited doctors and nurses, healthcare professionals of other types, and ostomates. And had these people talk together, and we added a little bit of knowledge and experience onto this. And it worked very well. Ostomates there have not been able to talk to doctors. You are operated on, you are sent home after 2 or 3 days, and you don't get any appliances unless if you can buy them at the pharmacy, which nobody can basically in these places. They are too expensive. But this worked very fine, and the Ostomy Association there got onto the map of the doctors and the nurses, and they started talking to them. And when we were in Bulawayo, I think it was, we were sitting down for lunch with all the participants, and I was sitting with one of the Moyo sisters and my wife, and there came two doctors, and they wanted to ask if they could sit down with us and talk to us. And there was only one seat available at the table. My wife moved away to another table. They sat down with me and Lizzie Moyo. No, sorry, Linda Moyo. And they didn't want to talk to me. They wanted to talk to her, which was the right thing for them to do. I was there on a project. I would be out in a week and not come back for a long, long time. She was going to be there for the rest of her life, and she was going to run this organization. So, of course, they focused their attention on her and talked to her about how they could work together for the betterment of life for ostomates. I was very happy to sit there quietly and add a few words once in a while, but to have them talk together, that was a victory.
Absolutely.
Then I knew that we were doing something right. And similar thing happened in both cities. People came, listened to the ostomates, which they hadn't done ever. They had just operated them and then sent them home. And some sort of bonds were formed there. And the Moyo sisters say that this is working quite well at the moment and has been for since 2019.
Oh, wow. That is a huge victory.
Yeah. It was very nice to achieve that. And this was in 2019. And in 2020, I got money for another project, and we were going to Zambia. But you didn't go anywhere in 2020, and you didn't go anywhere in 21. So we finished that program in Zambia in 22. We went there with a much bigger crew. We took with us two ostomy nurses, one from Iceland and one from Sweden.
Wow.
And it's almost funny to think about it, and I sometimes feel a little bit ashamed of the way I was thinking about this. It had been talked about, should we bring ostomy nurses or should we leave them out? So in the end, we decided to take with us these ostomy nurses. And I was very worried that they would distract the attention that the ostomates were getting at these workshops. But I think I have never been more wrong in my life. They were worth their weight in gold, these ladies. They
excellent.
were a very powerful addition to the workshops, and we brought in ostomates to talk to the doctors and the nurses. We had these ostomy nurses, and we did two workshops in Zambia also. The first one in Bulawayo, not Bulawayo, in Lusaka went very well. We had a guy from the health ministry there. He started the workshop, and he gave basically a thundering speech welcoming us to Zambia, and his final words were something like this: "Hey guys, we seem to have forgotten to learn about this in our healthcare system. Please pay attention to what these people are saying."
Wow.
So everybody paid attention, and most of the people in Lusaka were very positive towards this, and we had a very good ending to that conference. It was almost fabulous. The one thing that scared me while we were there, we were invited to go to the hospital, and we went into the intensive care unit, which would never, ever happen in Iceland. It would never, ever happen in the UK. You would never be invited to go into the intensive care unit. But we were there, 20 people from the conference, and the nurses were there, the ostomy nurses that we brought with us were there giving advice on how to treat people. It was not necessary for me to go there. I was not feeling very well there. I knew that we were sort of trespassing. But okay, that went well. And the second workshop that we took was in Livingstone. It's far inland in Zambia. You are in a rural area there. We always, if we get more funding, we will start with the program in the capital, which is usually the largest city. And then we try to go to a rural area because the way of thinking is very much different in the rural areas. There you have more prejudice and stigma towards stoma. People don't usually have as much education there and something like that. And the workshop there started off very slowly. The people from the hospital said, doctors, nurses, they said, "Hey, come on, we don't need to know this. We don't have these kind of things here. Why
Wow.
are you coming here and teaching us this?" But we kept on talking and showing them what we were talking about, and slowly they admitted that they had a few operations like this every year, and there were people with ostomy around in this area. And in the end, everybody was very happy with this workshop, and we got them running with us in the same direction. But that was a bit of a hard work, actually. We had to talk and talk very cleverly. But like I said earlier before, the ostomy nurses basically hit the show there. They were very highly appreciated there. No question about that.
I can just imagine. And were they also set in a scenario where they could actually share their knowledge to the other nurses?
Yes. Well, the dream is that the people who come to these workshops, they learn a little bit about ostomies, and then they go about and share this experience. Tell people that they know about this. Usually, well, there are two or three or four hospitals in Lusaka. The people that were on our workshop were from one of these hospitals, and hopefully they have shared their knowledge to the other hospitals.
Like a ripple effect.
Yeah. That is part of what we are trying to create with these workshops. We can't, I can't come from Europe, stay in the country for 2 or 3 weeks, and the problem is solved. That's not going to happen.
No.
The locals will have to take over from there and keep on fighting. They will solve this problem if anybody does. If I move the problem centimeter forward and they take the next 99 centimeters and complete the meter, then something has been accomplished.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, basically, what you've done, because you knew you had to carry on and talk to them about it, you've actually opened up a new avenue of discussion, first of all, because they will obviously know next time, we've got a far way to go. We can learn so much by listening, and also, like you said, you took the stoma nurses with you. And that was your ace up your sleeve, showing the people that are in need on how it's done. And I think you mentioned the doctors perform the surgeries and then the people get sent home. Now, obviously, it's not a doctor's job to do the aftercare, but for him to know that there are organizations out there like yourself, and that there are people out there like yourself that are willing to aid them in educating the nurses and everybody else around there, I think it's just so vital.
NGOs like EOA and other organizations like that have been working in Europe for 50 or 60 years, and they've provided priceless work and information all over the place. And this is not a very common thing in Africa at the moment, I think. You have life is harder there. People have to work more to get food on the table and things like that. But they are starting, for example, in Zimbabwe, they've been doing this since 2011. I think the organization was founded there. And there are organizations in Zambia and South Africa that are fairly new, but they are being led by powerful people and they will persevere and keep on. So I hope that this way of fighting for your rights has come to stay in Africa. They really need that.
And look, you are basically giving those that can't talk a voice through your action, because
Yeah, I'm trying.
obviously
I'm trying.
you are sh already, I mean, success is there already. Even if it's just a couple of centimeters, like you said, but you're empowering the others to carry on and take it upon them to help their fellow people in need for ostomy supplies and how to treat people that are ostomates, that they are not outcasts. It's just a condition that they have that can be solved by having proper healthcare supplies.
Yes, that is the main thing, to have to supply them with appliances.
I always, on all my shows, when the time is right, I always give a big shout out to all the healthcare suppliers out there, that because without them, obviously, we cannot live our best life. And so I appeal to all the healthcare suppliers to perhaps, yes, take an initiative and help those people that are helping others in an ostomy, because obviously, as a healthcare supplier, you've got so much more leverage than just an individual. So
Obviously.
tell me now, I think Uganda is another project that was funded by the Icelandic Stoma Organization. Is that correct?
Yeah, I went to Uganda in last November. That was supposed to be a project similar to the ones in Zimbabwe and Zambia. The projects in Zimbabwe and Zambia were 80% funded by the Icelandic Foreign Ministry. But now the foreign ministry had changed the group of people that choose the programs, and I got a no from the ministry. I was not getting money for this, and I was, of course, very much annoyed. And the reasoning for the no I found to be ridiculous. They didn't see this as a healthcare problem. They didn't see this as a social problem, and they basically said there's nothing wrong with the ostomates over there. So I got furious. for an hour or so. Then I gathered my senses again. And well, we cut down costs and we shortened the program, and there were fewer people that came with me to Uganda. And this time we had to leave out the ostominoses, which is sad, but in real life you sometimes have to cut down things. So we went to Uganda and we stayed there for a bit more than a week. We did two workshops, one in Kampala and one in Mbarara. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And the organization in Uganda is so brand new that we didn't have as much attention to these workshops as we would have liked. But like I said, someplace it's always amazing what a visit from a president can do, even if he is the president of a small organization that does not have millions of members. We were invited to a meeting at the health ministry there, and into a one big hospital in Kampala. And this got the Uganda Ostomy Organization onto the chart. They are now recognized by the system, and their work has become better since we were there. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So they are doing a little bit of work themselves, and I'm hoping that I can go back to them this sometime late this year or early next year and do a little bit of a follow-up. I think that is really needed. What we did in November last year was, I didn't like to be there only for a week or so. I would have wanted to spend more time there and do more. It's necessary, actually. But money rules.
Yes, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it rules.
But your persistence is admirable, because without it, these people would not have what they're having now. And
No, they would not.
no, and the follow-up.
You always take little steps in these matters. Sometimes I don't like to take little steps, but that is the real world. We take little steps. But there's also one thing that I would like to mention about Africa. We are going there, the whole board of EOA, we are going down to Nairobi in late of October, and we're going to have a meeting with our African members. We will be meeting people from South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, and Kenya, of course. And then we will be adding, inviting people from a few other countries where we know there is an ostomy organization. We will be meeting them and talking to them and have them talk together, which is the main thing. They need to get to know each other and they need to talk together. Then they can perhaps sometime in the future form something that will be called the African Ostomy Association and take over a lot of the jobs that we are doing from Europe today. To
I mean,
have them fight their own fight, it would be very, very nice.
I mean,
But I will
that's
always be ready to add a little bit to it if they want me to.
yeah. I'm sure this is not just a vision, but I'm confident that this will become reality, because with them all uniting, they will just have so much more power for the ostomates there.
Yeah. And they can have easier access. There is something called, I don't remember the official name of it, but there is a coalition of all the states in Africa. They have something called something like the European Union or something like that. And they would have easier access to that than me, for example. And we are thinking about talking to the World Health Organization. They have a big office in Nairobi, inviting them to send a person to meet us, talk to these members of EOA that are from Africa to help them realize how big the problem is. And I need to say this, but when we were planning this meeting, I tried to get funding from the big organizations that are selling products in Africa, but sadly, all of them said no. They didn't see it fit to send us a little bit of money. Maybe I was too late with asking them. They always plan 1 or 2 or 3 years ahead. I'm Icelandic, so I plan always a month ahead. I can snap my fingers and say, yes, let's do that, and we do that. But that doesn't work for a big organization.
No, they
They
need.
need some time to think about it and talk about it, and then they make a decision. But I was very disappointed when they couldn't help us with a little bit of funding, but that's life again.
Who knows, maybe another avenue will open, or perhaps they will still see it and get back to you. I mean, I'm really hoping, and
Yeah, let's hope that they listen to your radio show.
exactly. This goes worldwide, so
Yeah,
yes,
we
why
have a
not?
chance.
Exactly, we have a chance. So if you're listening, please, your support is absolutely needed.
Yeah.
So we're almost at the end of the show, but there's something that we haven't spoken about, and I know for myself, it's a very important day. That's World Ostomy Day, and my show actually premiered on last year's World Ostomy Day, and I know you also had a very special occasion on that, on last year's World Ostomy Day. Perhaps you can share.
Yeah. Well, the official World Ostomy Day is only celebrated every 3rd year, but many organizations do it every year, and we sort of gave up fighting against it. It was silly, of course, to fight against it, but yeah, people do that every year. But the official World Ostomy Day was supposed to be in 2024. But we postponed it until 2025. I was at after I had been in South Africa in October last year, I went to Singapore, and there was a Asian and Pacific conference there. All the ostomate associations that could send persons to Singapore did that, and they had a conference. And on that conference, it became very clear that this area was in no shape to have the World Ostomy Day done properly. They were still in shatters after COVID. Everything was in shambles in their countries, and their organizations were not ready for anything, basically. So we decided to postpone the official World Ostomy Day to 2025. But those that want to celebrate now in 24, they are very much free to do so, and I hope as many as possible will do that. We need the attention. There's no question about that. But the World Ostomy Day was first done, oh, I don't remember, 92 or something like that. It was invented by a German guy who was working for the German ostomy organizations for a very long time, not working for them. He was leading them. He was the chairman there. And he did a lot of good work. Oh, his name is escaping my memory chip at the moment. But okay, he did a very good job and invented this, and it's been a big thing ever since. 92, 95, 98, 2001, etc., etc. And it's been very delightful to have this and see how much work people put into this. Yeah, it makes me proud when I see what people really do. And we've had in the past, we've had a competition which where every country can send in their thoughts on this and what they did and what they wouldn't want to do, and we have been able to reward them a little bit we've been helped with this with Coloplast in Denmark. They've been putting up a little bit of money for this program, and I was on the reviewing board and the handing out the prizes award in 2018, which was a very, very nice job. We got suggestions from all over the world, and it was very nice to go through that work to see what people were really ready to do and what they were able to do. So we have a lot of manpower in these organizations, and I don't fear about the future if this keeps on going like that. We have a strong backland. We have a lot of people wanting to keep this going.
And I mean, that's what it's all about, to keep it going. And as I mentioned before, the ripple effect, because when now we are in conversation and other people will hear our conversation and then share it with their hopefully organizations. And I mean, I take my healthcare supplies, I don't take them for granted at all. And if other people can think like that as well, not taking it for granted, knowing that there are other people out there that need help, that there's a lot of education still to be done, I think we are on a good path.
We are on a good path, and German guy that invented the world ostomy day, his name was Gerhard Englert. Sorry, Gerhard, that I forgot this. But yeah, he did a lot of work for this for the Germans and world and the ostomy world in general. We need people, more people like him, and a lot of other people who have been doing a lot of good work through the years. If I started counting them all and mentioning them all, it would take me a half an hour. So we'll leave it with Gerhard.
No, absolutely. And I mean, as you said, World Ostomy Day every 3 years, but I know in the ostomy community, you know, everybody in an ostomy also celebrates their own ostomy birthday, because it's obviously a milestone in your life. It's something that you will never forget, and it's something that also directs your life. But yeah, it's wonderful the work you do, and I can only say you've got my vote to be the next president again. I'm all for bending the rules. And perhaps just closing now, perhaps you've got a closing statement for our listeners on what how they can, as you said, we spoke about contributing, or how they can get engaged in helping Ostomates and the organizations worldwide.
You mentioned our ostomy birthday. My ostomy birthday happens to be the birthday of my wife. I got my first operation when at her birthday, so it's easy for me to remember that day. But yeah, we need people to do whatever they can to help their friends and neighbors and their friends with ostomies and their family members with ostomies. If people can put up a little bit of work, if they can give their local organization or the national organization a little bit of money, everything helps. Doesn't matter how small it is, when a lot of people do it, it will become a big thing. So let's just keep on working for this occasion, and hope that more people will join us and we will become stronger. I always say when we are looking for people, when we are asking people to become members, the more we are, the stronger we will be. And I think that is part of the truth. We need more members. We need more organization to join us. All the organizations need more members. There are a lot of people who are have ostomies who are inactive, not even members of an organization. That is due to Facebook. That is due to the computer age. But there's nothing like sitting down, meeting people, talking to them in person. That is much more effective and powerful than seeing you on the screen or talking to you on the phone or typing messages on Facebook or any other program like that. Join your local organization. Help them. That is the thing that makes us stronger. We need to be stronger. We need to be more people. And yeah. That's about it, I think.
Now, the one thing we haven't spoken about is the website where people can actually look up what you do. And I think if just correct me if I'm wrong, but it's just ostomyeurope.org. That is the
Ostomy, yeah,
website.
ostomyeurope.org, yes.
Exactly. And I know you have a Facebook, because you've mentioned Facebook group as well, and that's the European Ostomy Association on Facebook.
Yeah.
Obviously, we are in a digital age, but as you said, we mustn't forget the human factor. You know, speak to your ostomates, the ones that you know, and share experiences, share also this show. Let's
Yeah,
do
the
this.
more active we are, the more versatile we are in our activity, the better.
Exactly. Let's have a ripple effect. So This is us saying goodbye, also here from the UK to Iceland. Thank you so much for being our guest here on Stoma for Life. Johan, I wish you all the best. Like I said, you've got my vote to be president for another 3 years. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And yes, let's hope for this ripple effect.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.